Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira Kaufman's work at joebucksfan.com. You have to get to BillCurryFord.com to see all of the amazing end-of-year specials. Incredible. This is the time to buy a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. Our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Check it out. Be prepared for when disaster strikes your home or business. You know who to call, who's going to fight your insurance company to get the money you deserve. FloridasElitereStoration.com.
That leads me to a sensitive point, but I'll say it to Buck Nation. Now, my wife's not a plain woman, but she likes a plain donut. So go figure that out. Excuse me, gentlemen. Excuse me. Where's the glue?
Buccaneers fans, here's Ira again, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. You can catch Sage's earlier podcast at joebucksfan.com, podbean.com. The Ira Kaufman podcast lives at Apple Podcasts, of course, Google Podcasts. It's everywhere you want to find it. Not really, but enough places, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of joebucksfan.com. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And Sage, I'm very excited to have you here today. We've got some important things to tell you, but first, how are you?
I couldn't be better, Stevie. It's a great time of year. I got my coffee. Got my chocolate donut with sprinkles. Got an old-fashioned donut for my wife when I get home. And, much to my surprise, I was going to go pick up some bags of coffee. Ground coffee. Medium roast. I used to get 4 bags. I think they're 1 pound each. 4 bags for $21. I looked at the sign tonight. 2 bags, $18.99. I thought inflation's under control. What's going on?
You might be listening to the wrong sources. There was some disease down in South America.
Oh, man.
Hey, Ira, what's an old-fashioned donut? What does that mean?
There's nothing on it. Now, my wife's not a plain woman, but she likes a plain donut. So go figure that out.
The old-fashioned, like they made back in, like, the 1890s, you know, when they first invented donuts.
Of course, Lee. Now, when I come home, it'll be a big surprise for her. I might get a little peck on the cheek. Isbitz, you never know. And then I'll make her a cup of tea and everything's going to be beautiful.
Well, Ira, in the last podcast, you informed listeners that, you know, you don't give a woman cash unless it's a transaction in Vegas. So I guess a donut's better. That's, I guess.
That was a funny line, wasn't it, Stevie? That was a good line.
That was a classic. Yeah, that opened your podcast, Ira. But of course, also to open the podcast, we heard about the amazing offers at Bill Curry Ford. This is the time of year to buy a vehicle. GM Sean Sullivan, he's explained why on this podcast before. We're not going to go into the intricacies of why you get the best deals this time of year, but what you need to know is that Bill Curry Ford is where you can see all the offers, and that includes 0% APR for 72 months on many different 2023 Fords, Escapes, Edge, Expeditions, F-150s, Bronco Sports. It's incredible, and it's courtesy of the Curry family. They're buying down the interest on a lot of these offers to make this available to people across Tampa and beyond. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. The Ira Kaufman discount remains in effect at all times. Sean will be there. He's living there from now till New Year's. So you can reach out to him, and you can email him at BillCurryFord.com. You can find him there. Sage, also, this is the time they get amazing offers with gift cards and promotions to get discounts. Incredible at Big Storm Brewery, especially in Clearwater. Now, you can follow all of their locations on social media and just look for them. Search Big Storm Ebor, Centro Ebor upstairs, Clearwater, the flagship location in Odessa off State Road 54, their Pasco spot, and in Orlando at the Amway Center. The website is bigstormbrewery.com. You can punch in your zip code there and find out which of their many products are available near you, their great craft beers, or their amazing vodka sodas, spirits. You got to get to bigstormbrewery.com. You know, be the hero of your holiday party. Bring Big Storm in some form. All right, so Ira, I got a few things to ask you here about these crazy bucks. Do you want me to go with something to challenge, something that you and Lee talked about first? Do you want me to save that till later?
Well, I don't want my energy to be sapped when you challenge me, so you might as well do it right off the top, Isbitz.
Lee, what do you think?
If Ira wants to do it right away, okay. I'm one of these kind of guys who save the best for last. But if Ira wants to bat lead off, let him do it.
All right. Well, I don't know if it's the best, but Lee can referee here a little bit, and certainly you guys can pin me to the mat if you think I'm insane. which is possible. But Ira, in the last episode, you had a great conversation with Lee about Mike Evans and free agency and Antoine Winfield in free agency. And Sage, you were adamant that Antoine Winfield is the guy they're keeping. He's playing at an incredible level. He's proven it. He's a game wrecker. And this guy's got to get paid, and he's the top priority in free agency. Now, I'll say this, Ira. Mike Evans, 30 years old, birthday is in August. Antoine Winfield, 25 years old, his birthday is in August. They're exactly 5 years apart. And if it comes down to, Ira, if they had to choose between either one of those guys, knowing based on their history and their durability and their fitness and all that other stuff, and their position that they play, if I had to look at this and say, you know what, if I can get Mike Evans as a great player for the next 3 years, or I can get Antoine Winfield as a great player for the next 3 years, or maybe the next 5 years since he's younger, in my book, in the way the NFL is played today, I would take the receiver all day long. If I had to choose, I would take Mike Evans over Antoine Winfield in a heartbeat. I look at the top safeties paid in the National Football League right now. They're largely not on good football teams. You got incredible defenses playing with cheap safeties. Your buddy John Lynch doesn't have any big investments at safety right now at all. Maybe like $4 million between his top three safeties that are rotating in. I would not pay Winfield if it cost me Mike Evans. Bucks are tight against the cap. They still have some dead money. That's where I stand, Ira, because I don't think Antoine Winfield is going to win you as many games as Mike Evans.
All right, the floor is mine for 2 minutes before Lee breaks this tie. One, you didn't address the five-year gap. You just papered right over that like that doesn't matter. Number two, excuse me, gentlemen. I don't even want to think about this Bucs secondary without Antoine Winfield Jr. I don't want to think about it. I mean, where's the glue? Where's the foundation? What do you got? Jamel Dean, forgettable season. Carlton Davis, nothing to write home about. The other safety spot, pretty bad. I don't even want to think about this. And the defense is mediocre with Winfield. It would be atrocious without him. Now, look, he's not Superman. He's not Ed Reed. They have busts in that secondary, and he's a part of some of them, but not many. But he's also the playmaker back there. I said he's having a Rondé Barber-esque season. That's high cotton. So the last thing I'll say, I don't think they have to make it an either-or thing, Lee. I think if they want both of these guys back, which I think they should find a way to accommodate it. And I think teams can do that if they really want these guys back. And I think they should bring both of them back. But Lee, if you walk me out to the end of a diving board and say, you better give me the answer or you're plunging, 20 feet down, I'm taking Winfield. Lee, where are you?
I don't know, and this is why. It's a great argument, but I don't know if it's apples and apples. Steve mentioned something that I don't know we can apply this measurement yet. Steve said the way the game is played today, offense, passing, you got to have Evans. Now, age factor is an issue. I don't think Evans is going to sign. If he re-signs the Bucks, I'm thinking it's a two-year deal with an option for a third. Just complete guess. No one's told me anything. Because you got to remember his age. And our Ira makes an excellent argument. Without Winfield, the Bucks are SOL in the secondary. And I made an argument in a previous podcast. I think Winfield's playing better than Rondé Barber right now. I really do. He's that much of a game wrecker. But here's the element that neither one of you guys factored in, and that cannot be factored in at this point. Who's coaching next year? If it's an offensive coach that drafted a quarterback, all of a sudden Evans is more valuable. If Bowles sticks around, I think Winfield's more valuable. Bowles and Canales. If those guys stick, then I think Winfield's more valuable. We don't know yet. So I can't make that judgment because I don't think we're on even terms here with your arguments.
Very good point, Lee. And Steve, to be fair, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but let's just say they're both outstanding players. You're not knocking Winfield. I'm not knocking Evans. They're outstanding players. They're two of the best players on this team, along with Tristan Wirfs and maybe Levante David. at this point. So I'm not knocking Evans, and I don't think you got anything bad to say about Winfield, Steve.
No, not at all. But I will say the Bucs' yards per attempt against the Buccaneers' secondary ranks 29th in the league. So in the words of the great Lee DeCamper, what are we talking about here?
It can always be worse, Steve, and it would be without number 31.
Yeah, you know, he's a great player, but just give me the receiver all day, the guy who's proven durable and who is in great shape, and I wouldn't want to think of the Bucs offense without Mike Evans. But it is a fun debate in a lot of ways. Maybe something we can bug some of the Bucs brass about after the season and see what they say. And they're actually
hey, Steve, one more point about this, and I think I got to admit it. One of the things I was going to say to you before I started thinking about it, I was going to say, you can always get a receiver. You can always get a receiver. And then I'm thinking of my beloved Chiefs, Steve. If you can always get a receiver, why didn't they get one? Why didn't they get one? They didn't get one. And as a result, Patrick Mahomes looks rather ordinary in terms of what we expect from Patrick Mahomes. So my first inclination was, you can always get a wide receiver, but maybe it's not that easy.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, look around. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. They use that same philosophy. They're going through receivers like a revolving door, and the ones that they think are really good are massive head cases.
Yeah.
Sage, you guys were out there. Dave Canales had his emotional moment here, completely disconnected from a game, completely disconnected from an emotional situation or a death or whatever. He's asked about his offense and reflecting on getting hired, and he almost starts crying. You know, he wants to prove himself to Todd Bowles, and he loves Todd Bowles, believed in him. He wants to make Coach Bowles proud. What did you make of that moment? And you can throw in whatever else you found interesting from Canales today.
Lee and I were sitting there. Lee, it was highly emotional. I didn't expect it at that moment. His voice did crack. He needed a couple of seconds to calm himself down. You know, Steve, to me, it's just one more example of how you root for a guy like Canales. You do. And I think Todd Bowles is in that same category. Good, decent people that you can get behind. And let's be honest, Canales is doing a better job. I think he reached his peak at Lambeau Field. He mixed things up very well. He had Green Bay off balance. Though Barry's catching hell. You know, he used to be on Gruden's staff and helped them win a Super Bowl as the linebacker coach. He coached Derek Brooks in Tampa. And now he doesn't have Derek Brooks in Green Bay. Probably hope. And he's taking a lot of heat, mostly because Canales did a masterful job of, keeping them guessing. So it was an emotional moment for Canales. I also asked him whether it's a stretch to suggest that Rashad White, yes, who we used to beat up on a weekly basis on this podcast, we're not going to run away from that, and I asked whether you could regard him as the premier pass-catching running back. Now, I can't believe I'm asking something about the Bucs and using the word premier, Lee. That's a stretch right there.
Well, but you were talking about Winfield and Evans, so.
Yeah, and Canales said it's not a stretch, and I don't think it is, Lee, in terms of hands, routes, you know, the way he catches the ball, his catch percentage, and maybe most importantly, Lee, making that first damn guy miss him. He's sensational at it. He even did it on his touchdown. The guy, you know, beat on him. I thought he was going to drop him at the 2-yard line. No, quick move. You can't teach that stuff, Lee. You can't teach it. So, you know, we can get into Rashad White's, improved running later in the podcast, but Lee, the guy is a sensational target out of the backfield.
You know, as a receiver, I used to say he's a misplaced slot receiver. I really haven't gone off my stance there. He's that good catching the ball out of the backfield. He really is. Hey, when your numbers are right up there with McCaffrey, well, what can you say?
Hey, Sage, I got to throw some numbers at you there. I'm not knocking Rashad White here. I'm just trying to give a little perspective. Okay, you ready? You sitting down for this?
Well, the first thing you better tell me is how many targets he's had this year and how many catches. You can start right there, Isbits.
Okay. All right, so Rashad White has 50 catches on 55 targets. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
50 catches, 469 yards. That's 9.4 yards a reception. That's
very good for a running back. Very good.
Very good. And 3 touchdowns in 14 games. It's an excellent stat line. You know, Lee's written up those numbers comparing it to other running backs and other. It's fantastic. So I just got to throw this at you, okay? Charles Sims, 2015, 51 catches, 561 yards for 11 yards a catch and 4 touchdowns. My point is we've seen this before in Tampa. We've seen a guy out of the backfield in his second season absolutely tear it up in the passing game. Sims also had 22 first downs out of those catches. Rashad White has got 19 first downs. White still got games to go, but it's not going to change crazy. You know, he's still only catching a few balls a game. And I just want to throw that out there for a little perspective.
I understand that, Stevie, and we know what happened to Charles Sims. We never heard of him again. Unless I brought his name up on a podcast and drove the Kemper crazy by doing it.
He did get hurt, so you know, I can't kill him. He did get hurt.
Now Steve, yes. Now, Steve, you do have to acknowledge this point, too. White, as a rookie, as bad as he was, as ineffective as he was running the ball, he caught the ball well last year, Steve. It's not a one-year phenomenon. He wasn't as good last year as he was this year catching the ball, but he was pretty darn good catching it last year, Steve. So that's 2 out of 2, Steven.
He's great catching the ball, great hands, great feel for the game. And the more he's out there, the more he looks like they could do more with him. My only complaint is that they don't throw him the ball enough. You know, that would be my complaint.
Lee, one more point on the Charles Sims thing. And boy, we haven't mentioned Sims' name on this podcast in about 3 years, which is a big reason why we're so popular, because fans don't want to hear about Charles Sims. But Lee, if you remember that year, and I know you do, when Sims was outstanding in a spot role, they had a hell of a running game with Doug Martin. Hell of a running game. And the Bucs haven't had that, so that opens it up for Sims a little bit, too. And this year, you know, until about 3 weeks ago, they couldn't run worth the damn. So, and that way, I kind of give White even a little more credit.
Was that the year the Bucs were 6-10?
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Such a good run game.
Say it's still mind-blowing that the Bucs have still had the least yards per carry in the NFL, especially considering that Mayfield has scrambled a little bit better than other quarterbacks, for sure. But they are improving, and there is a little more rhythm to it, and we're sort of like a game and a half that we have now with a quality running game. So we'll see if it keeps going. But I think, Ira, my biggest takeaway right now from the Green Bay game, forget about all the stuff going on, forget about everything. They sort of looked like a playoff team. They looked like a team that could make some plays on defense and smack you around on offense. And Todd Bowles was being aggressive. I mean, I think it's overlooked that it was 4th and 2 at the end of that game. Bucks could have punted. He chose to close it out by going for it on 4th and 2. Todd Bowles, what's going on?
Steve, you're not wrong. They played a whale of a football game. And for anybody that says Green Bay is mediocre, which they might be, I think they are mediocre, just like the Saints, mediocre. But Lee, Green Bay was a desperate, desperate football team going into that game. They needed it bad. They needed it as badly as the Bucs needed it. And that says a mouthful. And they were outplayed badly. Defense, Lee, I still got some questions. How do these guys get so damn open, Lee? I say it about a half a dozen to 10 times a day. How does that happen? The Bucs in the coverage drives you crazy. I thought Steve was going to say the story of the game was Baker Mayfield. Of course, I think he was the story of the game. Some people said, he could have thrown 3 picks in that game. Maybe. But he made some hellacious throws, smart throws. I don't know if he can match that against a fairly good Jacksonville defense. Well, you know the funny thing about the Bucs this year, Lee? Maybe you got a thought about it. I can't figure it out. Boy, they haven't played well at home. They have not played well at home. The two best games they've played was the Green Bay game and the game at the Superdome when they thoroughly outplayed the Saints. I believe that was week 4, Lee, before the bye. And Lee, at home, even when they win, you know, Carolina, Tennessee, the Bears, they don't play particularly well, Lee. So, you know, I don't know if you got any thoughts about the home crowd, but that bothers me a little bit.
You could argue that at least the offense played well at Houston.
Yes.
You know, Steve was talking about this head look of a playoff team.
Yes.
The thing that I didn't hear anybody speak about when I was up in Green Bay, and I was looking out for this. You know, it was cold that Sunday. Like I said, I dropped in on a Friday, and it was like 39 degrees at night. I went out for a burger on a Friday night. It was like 39 degrees, but there was no wind, no rain. And I'm like, this isn't so bad. it's not great. It's not comfortable, but it's not terrible. I'm like, you know, the Bucks might really luck out here. And the next day, it was raining and breezy. And, man, I'm telling you, it felt 20 degrees colder. And I went and roamed around Lambeau Field a little bit the next day on Saturday. And it was the same day on Sunday. I mean, same conditions on Sunday as it was on Saturday. Breezy, rain, light rain on and off the whole day. It felt like it was 20 degrees colder. So when the Bucks came out, you know, they're having a coin toss. I wrote about this on JoeBucksFan.com, but I know not everybody reads everything. Coin toss being determined. The entire Bucks bench, but about a half dozen guys. And those half dozen guys outside of Mayfield happen to be all offensive linemen that with connections to the upper Midwest. Either they grew up there or they played there. And they were all ready to go. And I look on the bench. Every player, but about four or five guys, every player was on that heated bench. And they had the body language of, I don't want to be here. And I'm like, oh, no. This is going to be the same old Florida team going up, playing up in the north, playing in the cold. It's in their heads already. And I was very pleased to see myself proved wrong. Because I saw that, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is not good. These guys, they're wanting to go home already. The game hasn't even kicked off. They want to go back in the locker room. But they came out and did play, and that impressed me.
Steve, isn't it amazing how the narrative in these two respects have changed, Steve, so dramatically in the last few weeks? No, not a lot of people nationally are talking about Bowles on a very, very hot seat. When they mention the top five or six candidates, they're always the same names. Even Belichick and Tomlin are mentioned, and no Bowles. And, Steve, the other one is that the Bucks absolutely have to draft a quarterback. We'll see how it plays out, Steve, but Mayfield's making a case to stick around a little bit, Stephen.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy how things have changed. I really needed some therapy because some weird things are going on, and I need your help with these things. We don't have to dive too deep into it, Ira, but I got to touch on this. Todd Bowles, who's been, you know, saying some weird stuff on the podium lately and saying some things that don't make sense. Lee's talked about it in the last podcast with the Devin White gate, but he was out there earlier in the week, Ira, talking about Tom Brady. And he's like, no, stop comparing anything to Tom Brady and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Baker. And Bowles said, and it was very obvious he was referring to last year. Like any person who's not a mental patient would not be comparing Mayfield to Tom Brady 2020. It's the transition one year to the next. Bowles said, it's not as pretty as when Tom was here. He was talking about the offense. And I heard him say that. And I said to myself, does this guy realize he fired his offensive coordinator? And that they scored less points than last year, and that pretty much right now they're getting much prettier play out of their wide receivers than they did last year. It's like Bowles doesn't realize, or he's trying to protect Brady like he's trying to protect Devin White. I didn't really understand that, Ira. Maybe you got to explain that to me.
Well, Steve, when he said those things, he had to be referring, Lee, to 2020 and 2021. I mean, he had to be. They averaged 30 points a game, Lee. Both of those years, they won a Super Bowl. They almost went to the NFC title game, Lee, the second year. Maybe should have, the way they came back against the Rams in that game. He can't possibly be talking about Brady last year. And, Lee, that leads me to a sensitive point, but I'll say it to Buck Nation. There were times towards the end of last year where I felt kind of alone a little bit. I did get some support from you guys. But when I was, you know, trying to at least even just imply, Lee, or suggest that Brady's not having a very good season in 2022, I got a lot of backlash, Lee. I mean, a lot of backlash, and people saying he's the GOAT. How can you say it? Yeah, he is the GOAT. That doesn't change anything. He's the GOAT. I got no problem with that. But, Lee, he wasn't the GOAT in 2022, and we don't live in a fairyland over here, Lee. We saw it. We watched the games. We watched 18 games, Lee. They won 8 of them. Brady's numbers on paper, Lee, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't look good, Lee? 18 points a game. And you can blame Byron Leftwich all you want, but Tom Brady's mind was not on the Buccaneers. He didn't want to get hurt, and nobody wanted to hear it when I dare suggest that Brady did not have a particularly good season. And I'm going to stick with it. I think Mayfield's played better than Brady of 2022. I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, I just can't go. That's blasphemy. Now, did Brady play? Did Brady play to his Brady standards? No. Did Brady play better than most quarterbacks? Yes.
They won 8 games.
I know you're hung up on quarterback wins. I'm hung up on, is the guy completing passes? Is he moving the ball? Is he winning close games? I put more stock into that. And when Leftwich slash Bulls did unleash Brady, he did pretty damn good. And I'll never forget that Cleveland game. I will never forget that Cleveland game, how the ball was ripped out of his hands. They were on their way to a comeback win, and that ball was ripped out of his hands. I'll never forget that. I can't pin that on Brady.
I will say, Steven, the biggest game of the year, and I'll give him this, the biggest game of the regular season was the Carolina game last year. Brady played very well in that game, Steve. He did. I acknowledge that. But over the course of the season, Steve, you know, no deep balls. Maybe that's Leftwich. Maybe it isn't. Steve, we talked about it. I'll say it one more time. If Brady didn't like the way the offense was structured, he could have changed it. Steve, he could have changed it. He had that kind of power.
Sure, sure. No, it's fascinating because Lee, without even thinking about it, summed up the other side here when he said it's blasphemy. And it's interesting because Rich Eisen, very public this week, saying, hey, you know, I love Brady. He's my fellow Michigan guy, but Mayfield's been better this year. The offense is better. They're getting more out of Evans and Godwin. And Pat McAfee, armed with a bunch of stats from the ESPN gremlins, laid it out, including, hey, aside from the Bucs being 7-7 this year, they were 6-8 with Brady. Better touchdown interception ratio, better QBR, better this, better that, yards per attempt. But it's blasphemy for a lot of people. But now you got a lot of people saying it. And Todd Bowles was, in the blasphemy crowd saying, oh my gosh, no. But it's really interesting. It'll be very interesting to see if Mayfield can continue this through these final three games, prove he's not a fluke. Because if he can't sustain here right now, as healthy as this team is, the entire offensive line, almost the entire team, frankly, when you look at the injury report, if he can't sustain it now, there's no reason to bring back Mayfield. If he can't close strong these next three games against marginal opponents, and frankly, Ira, we're going to turn to the Jaguars game soon, but terrible defense. Just go look at the numbers and the way they've played. It's a bad defense.
Steve, that's a great point. Mayfield's streaky. Lee, you know that. He is streaky. I'm not going to hold him to the standard of what he did last week. You know, a perfect passer rating, offensive player of the week in the conference or whatever. You know, that's like saying Shaq Barrett should get 19 and a half sacks, like he did his first year in Tampa. Or Devin White, God bless him, should get 9 sacks like he did, that one season. Yeah, that's unrealistic. It's unrealistic. Yeah. But Lee, if Mayfield goes back to the way he played the previous two games, before Green Bay, that's going to raise some serious issues about going forward with Mayfield.
Well, I've been saying this, I don't know how many months, maybe over a year, and I'm not budging from it. They should draft a quarterback in the first round. Mayfield could be a perfect bridge quarterback, have him sit, have the guy sit a year, maybe two. I don't see, in theory, you want to take advantage of the guy's cheap labor, the rookie quarterback. But I have not budged from that. I know that might get Tristan Wirfs mad. You heard, I don't know if you heard what he said, Ira, about rookie quarterback. It was very candid what he said. At risk of getting Tristan Wirfs mad at me, I would still draft a quarterback. I'm not saying get rid of Mayfield. In this draft class with so many good quarterbacks, you got to get one because you're going to need one in a couple years anyway. So you better get one now.
If the Bucs make a decision in February, yeah, we're going to draft a quarterback, Steve, and you want to use Mayfield as a bridge, and I don't think that's a bad idea. I'm not knocking Lee's idea. I agree with Lee. But, Steve, then you got Mayfield, who potentially could test the free agent market. What's in Mayfield's mind at that point, Steve? Maybe if he finishes decent, maybe he thinks he can get a big, big payday for an extended period of time.
Oh, it's a very challenging situation for the Bucs. It really comes down to how well Mayfield finishes and whether Todd Bowles comes back. So there you have that. And it's just a big chess game there. I could make the argument why they should draft a quarterback. I could make the argument why they really don't need to. As long as we're talking about this, and remember everybody, I can't even express in words the amazing 0% financing offers right now at Bill Curry Ford. Get there, BillCurryFord.com. Don't mess around. The Ira Kaufman discount is in effect. Just ask GM Sean Sullivan. He's going to take care of you personally. He'll guide you. BillCurryFord.com. And Sage Fire, Flood, Storm Damage, Mold, Florida's Elite Restoration is the company to call immediately. Don't call your insurance company first. Call Florida's Elite Restoration first. They'll come out very quickly, do an assessment, a free evaluation of your issue, And if you want to use them moving forward after you get their full advice and a full evaluation, they're going to fight for you with your insurance company and manage everything so you don't get ripped off, because that's what happens. It's very sad, but that's the truth. It's a tough business. Learn about Florida's Elite Restoration at floridaselite-restoration.com. Check out their great reviews online. We know them. We love them. Owner Josh Martin, he's got decades of experience on the insurance side of the business to make sure that you are taken care of properly and everything is done right and you get your money. And they will give you $500 back if after your free evaluation, if you move forward with them, they'll give you money toward your deductible, that $500, or just cash back. But when you call, you got to mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan. Call them 24/7 when you have the problem. But more important now, be prepared. Go to floridaselite-restoration.com. Sage, I got to ask you this. Mike Tomlin, there's more and more buzz that, you know, his time may be ending there, and that, you know, just his incredible run is going to be over. Do you, and he's young, you know, 52 or something like that. Do you think that the Glazers, literally, no matter what happens this year, barring a playoff victory in the postseason, do you think the Glazers could pass on chasing Tomlin, given how they know him? And, you know, he's very tight with Rondae Barber and has good feelings about the organization. He's a friend of the Sage. You remember the great conversation we all had, and we all have talked about before here how much Tomlin loves you. And do you think they could pass on chasing Mike Tomlin, even if the Bucks go 9-8, knowing that they could get an iconic coach in here and install him for a long time, which I think they would love to do?
Boy, you know how to pose a sensitive question, Steve. You're very good at it. Win a division, go 9-8, maybe even 10-7, and then you're going to try to dump Todd Bowles. I mean, I don't think Buck Nation would have a lot of problem with it, Lee. But I got to think that Bowles would grow in the stature of the Glazers. You got to think that if he wins another division title and a winning record. I'd always go back to that, at least 9-8. You know, 8-9, I'm not impressed because you haven't shown improvement. And in your words, Lee, the arrow wouldn't be up necessarily. I'll tell you what, I'll answer it this way, Steve. If they're thinking about moving on from Bowles, Tomlin's the number one guy on my list. I had a Harbaugh, I had a Belichick. If you decide we're making a change. But, Lee, the fact that Tomlin's out there, he may be out there, he may not. We don't know that the Steelers are parting company with him. We don't know that. And we don't know that he wants out of Steel Nation, you know, with all that tradition. But the fact that he's out there, but Bowles wins 9 or 10 games and wins a division, boy, I know the Glazers like to listen to the fans, Lee, more than maybe most owners. But, gee, I don't know. I think at that point, Bowles has done enough to deserve a third year.
Well, Steve likes to bring this up, and he's very, very accurate when he brings this up. A guy who won a Super Bowl for the Glazers was fired after back-to-back 9-win seasons. So let's not get ahead of ourselves and think, oh, Bowles wins 9 games, he's locked in. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say that. Now, if the Glazers want to move on from Bowles, for whatever reason, but we know why they would if they do choose to move on from Bowles. It's going to be the same reason Mike Tomlin's going to be available. It's going to be the same reason Belichick's going to be available. And the fans don't want a rehash of Bowles, of Dungy, of defense, of run. It's a passing league. The only time the Bucks have had success was with offensive coaches. Look what Arians did. He was an old man. He comes in, let's throw the ball. Boom. Look what happened. It's time, people. It's time. You are not going to win a Super Bowl by being a running team. You got to throw the ball. You must have a quarterback. This is not the 1970s. Shoot, it's not the 1990s anymore. It's 2023, soon to be 2024. If you're getting rid of Bowles to get another defensive coach, there's no need to get rid of Bowles. I mean, look at the offense Tomlin has. We screamed about Canales' offense. My God, Pittsburgh's offense is prehistoric. It's dreadful beyond words. No, if you're going to go get Tomlin, keep Bowles. I'm serious. I like Tomlin. He's done a hell of a good job in his years in Pittsburgh. I don't think he's going to be available. But if you're going to get rid of Bowles to get Tomlin, that's crazy, I think.
There you have it, Steve. There you have it. By the way, New England's offense stinks, too. So you throw them in there with Pittsburgh.
Oh, it's a fun argument. I mean, look at the Steelers without Roethlisberger and the Patriots without Brady. You know, you need a quarterback. I mean, no matter who your head coach is, you need a quarterback. I'm just asking you, Ira, from the standpoint of the Glazers. I mean, Tomlin's success has been extraordinary, even when he hasn't had that quarterback. I don't know. I think it would be hard for them to pass up because even if Bowles goes, let's say he goes 9-8, and let's say they play the Eagles tough in the playoffs, they lose by 2, and that's the end of the line there. Bowles is still on the hot seat going into next year. It's like, hey, all right, Todd, now you got to show us that you're better. You know, otherwise, as Lee would say, what are we talking about here? So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It's a very interesting situation.
Lee, if they finish strong, you know, 9 or 10 wins and play a representative game in the postseason, that probably means the offense is continuing to do well. That speaks well of Canales.
Yeah.
And Bowles picked Canales, Lee. Bowles picked him. He did. I don't think you can say Jason Light picked Dave Canales. You know, right now the offense is looking good. And if it continues, Lee, I just think Bowles would merit another year. That's all.
You know, as much as I enjoyed that win in Green Bay, I loved it. And partially because, well, obviously because they won. And partially because they finally opened up the offense. Finally. And look what happened. Oh, by the way, you put Godwin in slot, you start slinging the ball. Boom. Because that offense is built to pass. And look what happened. But I've got to just myself. I can only speak for myself. I have trouble jumping into the deep end of the pool because the Packers defense is that bad. I want to see another game or two that they put up 38 points, 35 points. I want to see a little more consistency in that respect. You know, I'm not ready to turn the page and anoint the Bucs offense as repaired. And, you know, I'm just not ready to go there. So far, as the stat geeks love to say, small sample size.
I think that's fair, Lee. I think that's a fair point. The previous couple of weeks, Atlanta, Carolina, the offense was just so-so. As a matter of fact, the offense was lousy deep against Atlanta until the last drive. That offense hadn't been doing anything. The defense set up, what, 9 points in that game? I think Lee's point is right. There's a long way to go, and these next three games should determine Bowles' future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say, I think I sort of mentioned it before, I think the offense has been good for 6 quarters, and the reason I'm not jumping in the deep end there where Lee's not going is because literally, this season, Todd Bowles' his job and the season was on the line twice against Atlanta. You know, the 4th and 1, if Rashad White doesn't convert that, nobody's having any of these conversations now. The pitchforks would have been out for Bowles. The house would have been burned down. He was that close to getting fired. That's where we were, 10 days ago. And, you know, they came through. Yeah. They came through and not taken away anything. And I think Bowles deserves to come back if he's 9-8, but you don't always get what you deserve in the NFL. And that's, that's why it's a crazy, crazy situation, especially if, do you bring Todd Bowles back if Baker Mayfield says, hey, this team's offering me $30 million, and you know what? It's been good bucks. My wife and I are going over there.
That's a great point. Lee's said it many times on this podcast. If you're going to play a rookie quarterback, first-round pick, do you stick with Todd Bowles? I think that's a fair question, Lee.
Yeah, because his history with the rookie quarterbacks is not very good. Not very good. No, but then on the flip side, at least short-term, Canales has done really well with quarterbacks. I mean, before the season, Michael Lombardi was going yelling on his podcast, not yelling, but saying on his podcast, Mayfield was the worst quarterback in the league last year. Now, of course, he's sticking up for his son indirectly because his son was Mayfield's quarterback coach up in Carolina. So, of course, you know, Lombardi kind of had he was doing a little bit of a sales pitch to save his son. But still, no one thought Mayfield would be doing what he's doing now. Yes, he's inconsistent. That's Baker Mayfield. But I don't think anybody expected him to be guiding a team on the cusp of a division title. I don't think anybody thought that. And I mentioned before how I'm still a little shocked at how much progress Kyle Trask made in 6 weeks. I'm still a little shocked at that. So I'm thinking maybe Canales knows what he's doing with quarterbacks.
Hey Lee, I got to give Lee, I got to contradict you, but give you love at the same time here because you predicted the Bucs would be 9-8. And we knew in
this
division that would put them on the cusp of a division title. So the answer to your question is, yeah, you did. You picked them at 9-8. Ira and I thought they would have 8 wins and probably be in the hunt at this time of year. So I think a lot of people did thought that Mayfield would have them right here. Maybe, 7-7 if things are going okay. And maybe they can win, win some big games down the stretch. Otherwise they finish, 8-9 and that's that.
Steve, one more quick point. I don't remember if you or Lee happened to mention in passing, but I, you know what? I don't let these things go, Steve. You never let them go, so I'm not going to let it go. You mentioned Godwin being very productive, Lee, in Green Bay, working out of the slot primarily. It's still an unanswered question in my mind. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but Steve, did it really take this long to realize that Godwin was being misused this year? I don't get it, Steve. I don't get it. Why are you changing the guy's role and then it's not working and then it takes so long to put him back where he's comfortable? I don't understand, Steve.
I don't know. We're never going to get the truth on that, Ira. Maybe later somebody will have a few beers and tell us at some point. But, it doesn't a lot of things don't fit as far as who's, nudging in what direction to do this and do that. And, of course, the players have to work this out, but I mean, just for them to have the Mariah Godwin situation and then come back with a game against Green Bay where all of a sudden Godwin's lining up a lot in the slot, I don't know. It's very interesting.
Especially after he had they admitted that Canales had a sit-down with Godwin, as did Bowles. See, so you almost get the scent, the smell that Godwin said, "Would you put me back at slot more?"
And then they wrapped up. They wrapped up that meeting by saying, "Hey, we got to hurry up. Devin White's waiting outside."
Hey, Steve, speaking of Devin White, it sounds like White's going to play in some capacity. Now, I'm the guy that stuck his neck out and said, I think he's taking his last snap. I might have to amend it, Steve. He's made his last start, and I think that's safe. And I'll tell you why. If they start White Sunday, which I don't think they will, Lee, I don't think Bowles will do that. But if he does, I'm not on board with that. And I don't think the other 52 players would be either. This has turned into such an affair that I think Bowles is under a lot of pressure to at least play the guy a certain amount of snaps. But I think the original plan was he's done. Steve, what player in the biggest game of the year says, "I don't think I can go after practicing for 2 days"? I don't get it, Steve. It doesn't. There's a lot more to this story.
Yeah, the whole thing is a little strange, but I think the part of the story that's not talked about is KJ Britt playing so well, and maybe they knew that he could play, and maybe White knew that he could play, and, maybe there was like White, we're just assuming that White was being incredibly selfish. Maybe he just didn't want to hold the team back if he really believed that, my foot's messed up and KJ played well and, screw this. I'm not going to help anybody. He is an impulsive guy like that. And yes, he trends selfish, but at the same time, he's been a team guy in the past in a lot of ways. So I don't even know what to really make of it.
I think you're bending over backwards to back up White in this situation. He doesn't think anybody's better than him. And you know what, Lee? Down the stretch in 2020, nobody was better than him.
And that's why I spoke with people and they're like, screaming, "Well, this is why they should have drafted, what's his name from Jacksonville, Josh Allen."
Right.
And I'm like, well, I was on board with Josh Allen. I was vehemently wanting the Bucks to draft Josh Allen. But without Devin White, I can't say they win a Super Bowl that year.
Right. That's why you can't call him a bust. You can't.
Yeah, well, not just that, but back in the spring of 2020, if any Bucks fan, you would have walked up to them and said, "The Bucks are going to draft an off-the-ball linebacker, and in 3 years, 4 years, he won't be on the team, but they'll have a Super Bowl. Will you take him?" Every fan would have said, "Hell yes."
Yeah.
Sage, Sunday's game here. Bucks, Jaguars. The Jaguars are 8-6. You want to give us a pick? You want Lee or me to go first? What do you want?
I will go third. Steve, I will go third.
I said it on the podcast like a month ago, 6 weeks ago. Just from all the NFL I watch, I think Trevor Lawrence is incredibly overrated. his last game against the Ravens, how his ankle really feels, I don't know, but he was terrible in that game. A lot of mistakes. I believe he's got like 10 or 11 fumbles this year. His 18 touchdown passes is toward the bottom of the league, and their defense stinks. Now, that said, that means, you know, when quarterbacks face the Bucs, they all of a sudden look really good, and guys are wide open, and that's what happens. So I do believe in the Bucs offense, that they've, you know, improved significantly. I don't think there's a home field advantage for the Bucs yet. They haven't reached that level, but there's some issues in the Jaguars secondary, and I think they'll take advantage. So I'm going to go 27-24 Bucs.
This is a tough one because I don't know what Trevor Lawrence's status is. You know, he's under concussion protocol as of Wednesday still, or Thursday, excuse me, today's Thursday. He's still under concussion protocol, is he not?
He is, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but then again, you know, the Bucs defense makes all quarterbacks look good. So it does, I guess it doesn't matter if they play a backup or not. I want to embrace that what we saw in Green Bay is the Bucs for the rest of the season. I don't know that. I mean, I still think that they want to run the ball. I still think that they didn't want to pass, but it was so obvious that they couldn't pass it up. And then Ira talks about, and he's right, that they don't play so well at home. I think this is their last regular season loss. I will say Jacksonville 24, and the Bucs revert to their old 19 points a game average through most of the season. I say it's 24-20. Jaguars.
I can't argue with you, Lee, with your logic. I will say this to Steve's point. I got to give Steve some props. He made the call on Trevor Lawrence. It looks like Steve's right. At the end of last season, they didn't they play a playoff game against Kansas City played the Chiefs tough. They look like a team on the rise. This is a perfect time to catch the Jaguars. Things are turning in towards the Bucs' favor with the schedule and just the way teams are playing. The Lawrence injury. I'm not scared of the Jaguars, Steve. I'm not scared of them. I don't think Mayfield can match what he did against Green Bay. And I don't think Jacksonville's defense stinks, Steve. I think it's mediocre. I don't think it stinks. They have some playmakers. I like the Bucs to win the game 2016, even though they don't play particularly well at home, and crawl above the 500 mark for the first time, since week six. And I got the Bucs 20-10, Steve. Let's see what happens. 20-16. I'm sorry, 20-16.
All right, Sage. Now, this we've stayed up quite late, Ira, past your bedtime and mine, but not past Lee's, just to clarify that. But you know what? The Saints have lost. They have lost to the Rams. You know, they got out to Rams got out to a big lead, and they were able to hold on. Pretty interesting game it was. We're not going to break that down here. But the Saints have lost now. So the Saints go to 7-8, and we already know that the Panthers are 6-8.
You mean the Falcons. The Falcons.
Yeah, the Falcons. Falcons and the Bucs in an incredible opportunity here. What are your thoughts about the Saints losing here, Ira, in this spot, and now the Bucs really are in position where not only could they clinch with two wins, that would give them week 18 off against the Panthers, where I would assume they'd rest everybody and get as healthy as they can and don't need to go out against the Panthers and do something stupid, and we'd see Kyle Trask. This is what it's come down to, Ira. What's your quick thought?
The Saints are not a good football team, Lee. They're not a good football team. This Derek Carr experiment, grabbing them and paying them a lot of money, it hasn't worked. He's been average. Maybe he's a little bit better than average normally. Even his durability fell apart this season. That was his calling card. The guy's always available. They're not very good. In that regard, Lee, you know, Mickey Loomis and the Brain Trust, they got a decision to make. I think it's a no-brainer. Dennis Allen, absolutely nothing to show that he is a winning NFL head coach. Absolutely nothing.
Well, I'll quote Steve Isbitz about 3 weeks ago on Dennis Allen. What's this guy ever done?
He's right. He's done absolutely nothing. Why would you keep Dennis Allen when there might be somebody like Mike Tomlin, you know, who knows about Belichick, Jim Harbaugh? Go get somebody. Ben Carson, whatever.
Ben Carson.
Steve.
Didn't he run for president?
Yeah. I got his name wrong. But
the Health and Human Services.
Ben Carson, I remember him on that stage. Steve, the main point is Dennis Allen is not a good NFL head coach. He's just not. And maybe 3 weeks ago you said that about Todd Bowles, and maybe that narrative's changing a little bit. We'll see. But Dennis Allen, he's got to go, Steve. He's got to go.
Well, you know what? I think the killer for Dennis Allen was in this Rams-Saints game, you know, the Thursday nighter. The Rams absolutely carved him up in the first half, 250 yards of offense in the first half. And, you know, you're playing against a defensive head coach who's got a ton of talent on that side of the ball, and the Saints really were awful. And so here we are, Ira. You know, it looks like 9-8 is an absolute lock to win the division. The Bucs just have to go out and do it. So there you go. Final thought, Lee? Final thought, Ira? I'm done.
The Saints, as Mike Tanner wrote for The Messenger, the Saints are 2010 All-Star team. They're over the hill.
And they don't know what to do with quarterback. I mean, I guess they're stuck with Carr, Steve, you know, and Mayfield's had a better year than Carr. But to be fair, Carr's been banged up a little bit. He has. I'll say this, Steve, to our growing audience out there, we appreciate you. And we wish you a very healthy and successful 2024.
All right, Sage. Well, you know what? Maybe you and Lee will have an exciting fastest 20 minutes in Bucs football after the game on Sunday. We can have a Christmas podcast for everybody, but we'll leave that up to you, Ira. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford, Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer, and our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, what's the over-under on Christmas cookies? What are we looking there?
I got to think 10 to 12 on the cookies. You know, by the way, why couldn't they play this game Sunday, Lee, at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve? Do I got to get home after midnight, Lee? Do I really have to get home after midnight on Christmas Eve?
I like the 4 o'clock kickoff. But second off, you know, I was just going to tell Steve, like, of course we could do a podcast. It's not like Ira has to run off to go to midnight mass.
We just might do a podcast, Lee, and hopefully it's a jubilant one Sunday night.
Hey, if you're driving home, Ira, it's okay. I know you went to high school with Santa Claus, so you know, maybe you guys can catch up to each other.